Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Would you stand with me? I put on Twitter a while ago, I've met two presidents, but come to think about it, I met both those gentlemen before they became president, just before. So the moral of the story is, if you want to be president, you have to come through me. I've met two presidents. I've preached to huge crowds of people, as far as you can see, millions of people on television. But I'd rather be right here in Living Way Church on Wednesday night at halftime than anywhere I know. And I'm glad you're here with me, praise God. And I believe God's Spirit is here. This just came in Sunday. I prayed for my sister that God would make her sober, and she is doing so much better. And I received a $3,300 check this week. That just came in Sunday, praise God. Anybody need a blessing for your sister? Anybody need $3,300? Say, if God did it for her, do it for me. Amen, in Jesus' name. Let's turn to the word of the Lord, John chapter 16, verse 13. Today is Sean's birthday. We celebrated on Sunday, but he is 40 years old and about, 6 hours, 5 hours, Sister Becky? Were you there? You remember this, don't you? Oh, you don't know what Sean and I went through to get him here. Did I ever tell you about him being born? He's born in St. Elizabeth in Beaumont. And so I went down there. I never will forget it. I had on a blue pinstripe suit all dressed up, and I went in there to see him. They let me in a little early. I thought they came wrapped in swaddling clothes. I didn't realize that there was blood, and I should have, been on a farm all my life. And so the next thing I know, they was trying to revive me. I fainted. That's how I greeted Sean. I took one look at him and fainted. And when I came to, there was a big guy in my face said, "Don't feel bad, sir. I'm a professional football player, and I just fainted a while ago myself." I felt better. I was in good company, praise God. All great men faint when their sons are born. Wonderful to be in the house of God. St. John chapter 16, verse 13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." I'm talking for the fourth time, the fourth session, on what the Holy Ghost responds to. Somebody told me today, this afternoon, a pastor said, one of my men in my church came and said, "Oh, I wish you wouldn't say the Holy Ghost. That's just too spooky." I said, "Can you say Holy Spirit from now on?" Well, that guy's a panty waste. I wouldn't want to take him to the movies. He'd get scared in the movies. Just saying Holy Ghost scares him. It might not be this fear that's a problem. It might be a conviction on him. I love the Holy Ghost. Jesus loved the Holy Ghost. Paul loved the Holy Ghost. Peter loved the Holy Ghost. The people of God should love the Holy Ghost. What the Holy Ghost responds to, you may be seated. The person that is filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost is always at advantage in every situation. You are at the advantage of people that are not filled with the Spirit of God. You are at the advantage of circumstance, and you are at the advantage of the unholy spirit, the unclean spirit, or the devil. When you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you are filled with God's power. And so when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are talking about an experience that hundreds of millions of people have received on planet Earth today, and some people believe a billion. But nevertheless, it's an experience that has been validated not only in the record of God's Word, but by the hundreds and hundreds of millions of people that have testified, people from all walks of life, both genders, and from all social economic status, from every nationality, have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is a thing that is promised in the Bible. This promise is unto you and your children, all that are far off. But it is something that has been realized in every generation. It is an experience. Someone asked me today, When Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost," did they receive the Holy Spirit right there? I don't believe they did. I believe that was simply an establishment of God's promise, of Christ's promise to them, what was about to happen to them in not many days in the upper room. In fact, he would say still in future tense, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have power. The Bible said, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus said, you have not so learned Christ. And what he's talking about, that you walk not after the Gentiles, or we would say walk like heathens or walk like sinners. He said, you don't live your life like that. There are many experiences in Christ. And one of those is the invitation of the Holy Spirit. It is an empowerment that is embraced by every writer of the New Testament and all of the disciples. And I can say that the argument can be made with authenticity that every Christian in the Bible was baptized in the Holy Ghost, just as Jesus said they would, just as John the Baptist said they would, just as Isaiah in chapter 28 of his book said they would. But I want to talk to you for a few moments on what different people said about the benefit of the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. What did the Apostle Paul say the benefit of the Holy Ghost is? That literally the love of God would be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. This world is in terrible turmoil. But the reason why it is in turmoil, because there is a real devil, and the real advocate of the devil is his spirit of hatred. That's what he sends into people's lives. And I've said it many times, racism is just another word for hatred. Many people don't believe when I say this. They just look at me and never comment. If every one of us in America would be the same color, we would still have problems. It's not about color. It's not about money. It's about hatred. I love some rich people. I love some poor people. I have some white people. I have some black people. I love some brown people. I love some yellow people. It's not about what is race or money. It's about hatred. And so the Apostle Paul said the remedy for that is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When you get the Holy Ghost, it will make you love everybody. You say, well, I don't love everybody. Then the Holy Ghost does not have you, because the Holy Ghost is no respecter of persons. And when you get filled with God's Spirit, it will create in you a real love for God's humanity. Not just a love for God. The Bible said, how can you love God whom you have not seen when you don't love your brother whom you have seen? How many people saw the lady that had been in prison for 21 years for selling drugs? Did you see her on TV? Did you see her little interview today when they asked her how she felt and how she reacted? It was so cute. She was sitting there and said, what did you do? She said, I tell you what I did. I went in a full holy Pentecostal dance. And I did a little research on her and learned since she's been in prison 21 years, she's become an ordained Pentecostal minister. And so she made the best of her time in prison, kind of like Paul and Silas. No matter where you are, you can do something good. Amen? And so the love of God cannot rise to its highest precipice, to its highest standard, to its greatest level without the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to realize these words, that it will shed abroad in the hearts by the Holy Ghost, the love of God. You have to realize that that was written by a man that just a few years previous had been trying to murder people and was actually murdering people just for being Christians. But he placed great emphasis on his experience in the Holy Ghost. He knew what it had done for him. Friend, I know what it's done for me. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that motivates me. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that energizes me. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that gives me power. The second thing the Apostle Paul said it would do in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned understandeth not what thou sayest? For verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, the apostle Paul said, I speak with more tongues than you all. Apparently, the apostle Paul placed tremendous emphasis on the baptism of the Holy Ghost and also on the said evidence of speaking in an unknown tongue. You understand there are two kinds of tongues. There's the tongue that you speak where there is interpretation. And Paul addresses both of these in this writing. There is that time when you pray in the Spirit and there is not necessarily interpretation. It is the Spirit of God doing what Paul said, what? Making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be understood. I don't know how many people are you at that level. Are you at that level that every day of your life you pray in your known language of English or Spanish or whatever it may be, but sometime during that day in your time of prayer, you pray in the Spirit? I would urge everybody, you know, this is not the Sunday crowd. This is just the Wednesday crowd. This is not the crop. This is the cream of the crop, praise God. This is not just the people that stagger in here. These are the people that make an effort. So I would urge every one of you in here on a Wednesday night to become people of powerful, supernatural prayer. You say, well, how do I do that? Pray with understanding. There are things you know that need to be done. You know if your son's not living for Christ. You know if you need money. You know if some member of your family is sick. Those are the things you pray for. But there are things in your life you don't even know about. Not in your life only, but family members and people in the sphere of your influence. You might not have the ability to see everything that is forthcoming, but the Holy Ghost does. The Holy Ghost knows what's going to happen to you tomorrow and the day after and the day after and the day after. So when you learn to pray in a known tongue, and then you go to a higher level and you pray in the unknown tongue with groanings and utterances that cannot be understood, the Apostle Paul said that is the Spirit making intercession. What does that mean? You don't know what's going to happen on your job, but if you can pray in the Holy Ghost, that intercession can be made. And when you get to that juncture, which should be a total disaster in your life, because you've prayed in the Spirit 3 days before, the Holy Spirit has been there and prearranged that. Instead of it being the disaster that the devil wanted it to be, what happened? The Lord was able to arrange it and turn it to your good. I remember years ago when I was preaching in the Golden Triangle, there was a wonderful lady there in the church, and she spoke to us, and she said, I was praying, and she said, I saw a plane crashing. And she said, it was crashing in Central America. And she said, I saw that plane just as clear. And she said, I began to pray, and I want you to help me pray for it. And so people did. They joined her in prayer. It was just a few weeks later until that missionary was in that very same pulpit, and he began to tell a story about how he had crashed his plane, which was rather old. He crashed it in Central America, and he simply opened the door and walked out of the plane without a scratch on him. And he was in America to pick up a brand new airplane that the insurance company had bought him when his other plane was destroyed. And so this woman was there, and she went up to him, and there was other people that had witnessed her prayer, said, what time was? They traced it back. And it was about the time she was praying, just a little before that she was praying. And so what was she doing? She was interceding in the Spirit. The Lord knows what the devil has arranged for you, but unless you can learn to pray in the Holy Spirit with intercession, the devil might very well be effective in his attack on you. But if you can get in the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost in you, praise God, you can begin to pray. Your prayers can go out there 24 hours, 48 hours, 96 hours in advance. Instead of it being tragic, praise God. God. It can be wonderful and glorious, for the Lord is able to turn around. Amen? Does anybody believe that? Is there anybody here that really walks in the Spirit of Almighty God? Is there anybody here that has a real prayer life? Is there anybody here that has a real prayer language? You get in the Holy Ghost, and sometimes you're there 3 or 4 minutes, sometimes you're there 30 minutes, sometimes 45 minutes, and you go back and forth between English and Spanish, English and the Holy Spirit, Spanish and the other tongue. You just pray in the Lord. You lose all consciousness of time. You don't worry about the self and what are you doing. You are a person that is literally filled with the Holy Ghost, and miracles are happening. When we gather into this church and somebody gets saved, somebody's prayed for that. When somebody's life is changed around, when the door is open and miracles happen, when somebody's family comes to God, when somebody gets a raise, when somebody gets a $3,300 unexpected check, somebody has prayed for that. Friend, I'm telling you, prayer is a powerful thing. But it's not nearly as powerful as it is when you get in the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost knows, and He makes intercession for you. He knows where the enemy is. He knows where all the traps are. He knows where all the attacks are coming from. He knows how to avoid them. He knows how to turn them around. Praise God. Friend, I'm telling you, there is at our disposal supernatural power. And it's in the Holy Ghost. We revel in the gifts of the Spirit. Remember that. They're just that. They're the gifts of the Spirit. And so in order for the gifts of the Spirit to operate in you, you must be filled with the Spirit. Somebody will say, I have the gift of discernment, but I don't have the Holy Ghost. No, you don't. No, you don't. They are the gifts of the Spirit. In order to have the gifts of the Spirit, you have to have the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what it's called. But when you get the Holy Ghost, all those gifts become available to you, praise God. You're not walking through this world like a victim. You're traveling through this world like a conqueror, like a victor. You are overcoming. Why? Because the same Spirit that was in Christ is now inside of you. And not one weapon formed against Christ ever accomplished anything. In fact, God the Father turned them around, and what they meant for evil, the Lord would turn to good and cause God to have a miracle in His place. Can you say praise the Lord? Can you give the Lord a big shout? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me talk for a moment. What did Jesus say was the benefit of the miracle? John 7, 38 and 39. I love these two verses. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said. That's the key right there. As the Scripture has said. Friend, it will stagger your mortal mind, your finite mind, your carnal mind, to believe on Christ. Not just as the world believes, but as the Scripture has said. Because when you believe on Jesus as the Scripture has said, there is absolutely no limitation to His power. He is almighty. The Bible said there wasn't anything that was made that Christ did not make. He's the author and the finisher. And He is able to do that. He's able to do anything in our life. I believe on Him as the Scripture has said. He's not just a good fella. He's not a nice man. He's not a sweet Messiah only. He is the God of the universe. And He lives inside of me. And He said, I'm going away, but I'll send you another comforter. And He said, go tarry until you received it. And that's what I did. I got filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. It doesn't matter what the devil says. God can out-talk him. It doesn't matter what the devil does. God can outdo him. It doesn't matter about the attack of the devil. God is greater. And God is on my side. Does it stand to reason that Jesus would love me so much that He would die on the cross and not empower me to withstand every attack of the evil one? Surely not. He's filled me with the Holy Ghost. So greater is He that's in me than he that is in the world. So Jesus said, believe on me as the Scripture has said. And He said, if you will do that, He said, you shall receive the Holy Ghost, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. The Bible teaches us, he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. What does that mean? Every great city is built on a river. You know why? Because rivers are a place of provision. It's on that river that everything comes. The ships bring it in, especially before we had the combustible engine, but they brought it in. The food, everything we need was on that river. And so it was a symbol of provision. Jesus said, if you get filled with the Holy Ghost, in that Holy Ghost will be every provision. Every provision. When you get in the Holy Ghost, friend, you can't do without, because you've got the river of provision inside of you. I've told you 3 or 4 times in the last 40 years about Mother Holmes being in Africa. And she had run out of everything. She was a great missionary. She went down to a dock one day where she was traveling. And she said, is there a mail ship coming in today? And they said, there's no ships coming in today. She said, oh, yes, there is, because I was praying in the Holy Ghost. The Lord told me to come to this dock. There was a ship coming in. There'd be a mail sack on that ship. And in that mail sack would be an envelope. And in that envelope would be a check for me. They said, ma'am, there is no ship coming in, so don't talk about a mail sack, because there is no ship. And as they were arguing with her, she looked up on the horizon of the ocean, and she said, what is that out there? The guy said, it looks like a ship. She said, it only don't look like a ship. It is a ship, and it's coming this way. He said, there's not supposed to be a ship coming in here. He said, what you say is going to be? She said, a mail sack. He said, ma'am, I didn't believe you last time, but I'm starting to believe you now. When that ship docked, he walked in and said, is there any mail? And they said, yeah, we got this mail sack by accident. He said, there's a check in there for this woman. They opened up that mail sack, and there was a check for $6,000, which was a fortune to this missionary woman. Ladies and gentlemen, somebody said, when your ship comes in, you get full of the Holy Ghost, you'll be at the right dock. You'll be at the right place at the right time. God will have a check. It'll have your name on it. God will have a mail sack. It'll be just for you. Why? He said, believe on me as the scripture has said, and out of your belly shall flow rivers, provisions of living water. You can't have a need that God can't meet. He will meet all of your need according to his riches in glory. Praise God. What do you need tonight? Some of you just can't grasp it. It's beyond the spiritual comprehension you have. Everything you learned was in Harvard or Yale or SAC or somewhere, and you just can't break it down to believe that falling down on your knees, letting tears flow out of your eyes, and saying, Jesus, I've got a need, and then begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, and get up 30 minutes later and say, I don't know how, and I don't know who, but God's going to send somebody to give unto my bosom, because I believed on Jesus as the scripture has said, and out of my belly flows a river of provision, and the Lord always makes a way just in time. Can somebody give the Lord a shout? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So Jesus said about the Holy Ghost that it will be a source of provision. Secondly, he said in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Friend, I'm telling you that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not just stupid jitterish by unlearned, uneducated people. But friend, that is an evidence that there is a power not previously known to mankind that has moved inside of you. And once you get the Holy Ghost in you, you will be filled with God's power that you've never known. You'll have authority you've never known. You'll have wisdom you never had. You'll have discernment you never had. You'll have gifts you've never had. Why? Because you've got inside of you. You know, the Bible said in John chapter 3, it said the Spirit that Christ was given, the Spirit without measure. You said, I've accepted Christ. I believe that when you do that, it is a genuine experience. But it is a measurable experience. But when you get filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's an unmeasurable experience. Do you know how difficult it is to measure a moving flow of water? You don't know how big it's going to get. Friend, I'm telling you that the source that is now available to us of the Holy Ghost knows no dimension. He said, try to measure it. He said, it's up to my ankles. It's up to my knees. It's up to my... He said, it's an overflow. I'm just going to have to go for it and swim. He said, we can't contain it in the church. Ladies and gentlemen, as sure as I stand here, before Christ splits the eastern sky, there's going to be a day where the Holy Spirit will be immeasurable and we will not be able to contain it in church buildings. Thank God. It'll flow out beneath the tabernacle door. And you know what the Bible said the result was? It said everything that it touched lived. The Holy Ghost is life, and it more abundantly. Jesus said about the Holy Ghost, get filled with it and you will have power. I know some of you live lives filled with contention and anxiety and lack, but you are now living way beneath your spiritual means because there is a God in heaven that calls you to prayer, not because he needs to be persuaded out of reluctance, because he wants you to take both hands and seize his willingness, because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should be saved. He's not willing that any should be sick, but all should be healed. He's not willing that any should be hungry, but all be filled. He's not willing that any should have lack, but all have abundance. That is the will of God. And that's what the Holy Ghost is for, is to turn you on to power and help you understand that he will not deny any good thing from you. I got a whole bunch of stuff. Let me skip, because I want to get to this before I close. John 3:34, for he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The verse I just quoted. But let me show you what the Holy Ghost meant to Jesus. Number one, Jesus was begotten by the Holy Spirit. That's how he came to earth. We all know the T.D. Jakes sermon, Make My Baby Jump. That was the Holy Ghost inside of them. And so he was begotten by the Holy Spirit. You say, Pastor, I don't have anything in my life that I'm excited about, looking forward to. I just don't have a goal. I don't see anything good in my life. Friend, if you would allow yourself to be filled with the Holy Ghost, there would be begotten in you. Something would be born in you that does not live now. Suddenly your life would become a dream. Your life would flourish. It wouldn't be drabness, but it would be excitement, because the Holy Ghost is a power of excitement, a power of birth. And when I begin to read the Word of God, when I begin to hear the reports of God, you know, just little things. When I watched that lady on the news talking about doing that Holy Ghost dance, I just felt something hit me in the stomach. I just felt it. There's the same spirit in her. She used to be a drug runner. You have to know her story. Her husband died. She couldn't support her kids. She got desperate. She sold drugs, and they put her in prison for life. What were they thinking? Should have been like a 3-year sentence. She's been there for 21 years. But in there, she found God. But when I heard her speak, there's, you know, the Bible talks about familiar spirits, and it's usually talking about evil spirits. But there's also a good familiar spirit. Praise God. I had a familiar spirit with her. She made my baby jump. I reacted. I thought, what's it like to be in 21 years in prison? And now she's got a big old smile on her face. Oh, what the Holy Ghost can do. Friend, I'm telling you, if you learn to walk in the Spirit, talk in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, you need to pray through every day. Pray through every day. Pray through every day. You need to get in the Holy Ghost. There's a devil. He don't take a day off. He works 7 days a week. You need to get up in the Holy Ghost every day. Get in the Spirit every day. You need to put some knots on that devil's head. Say, no, you ain't gonna get my kids. Praise God. The Bible said that Christ was begotten of the Holy Spirit, Luke 1:35. Jesus Christ was led a holy and spotless life and offered himself without spot to God through the working of the Holy Spirit, Hebrews 9:14. People say, I just try so hard, but I just can't live for God. Why, of course you can't. You can't. You can't. Unless you get God's Spirit inside of you. God's Holy Spirit will do it. Number three, Jesus Christ was anointed and fitted for service by the Holy Spirit, Acts 10:38. Friend, you say, you know, I just don't have a gift. I don't either. You say, yeah, I don't have a ministry. I don't either. But if you will let the Holy Ghost get inside of you, praise God, all he needs is a place to operate out of. You know, when the United States gets in war, you know, way off somewhere, you know, the first thing they do is try to find an ally to where they'll let them develop an airfield where they can put their planes in. Do you know that's what God's asking you to do? God said, I'll do the work. Just be a friendly nation to me. Just give me a spot to land. That's all I need. And he said, I'll work out from you in every direction because you're full of the Holy Ghost. You say, but I don't have the personality. It has nothing to do with your personality. It has to do with the person of the Holy Ghost that wants to live inside of you. He'll make the crooked path straight. He'll bring life out of death. He'll bring joy out of sadness. He'll bring happiness out of misery because he can do that because he is the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Number four, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit in his movements here upon earth. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. He said, man, I got in a mess. That mess could have been averted. You were at the wrong place at the wrong time because you weren't led by the Spirit. You could have very easily said, boy, I tell you what, I got in a blessing. You know, we need to change our whole vocabulary, but it won't be changed until the Holy Spirit's leading us. I got in a blessing. I just stood there one time. Praise God. I just did a place one time, and a guy pulled up in a new Lincoln, wanted to sell it. It's a long story to make it short. I've told it before. He had a new Lincoln. He wanted $1,000 cash for it. Praise God. We bought that Lincoln for $1,000. We made mucho grande money. Just at the right place at the right time. The Holy Spirit led Jesus Christ in his movements on the earth. And that's what he promised. He said the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you. Friend, if you can just... You say, I don't have a good job. That's because you've never been in the right place at the right time. If you would allow the Holy Spirit, he would have you at the right place at the right time. And God's blessing and favor would open up in your life. Number five, Jesus Christ was taught by the Spirit who rested upon him. The Spirit of God was the source of his wisdom in the days of his flesh, according to Isaiah 11:2. Number six, the Holy Spirit abode upon Jesus in all his fullness, and the words he spoke in consequence were the very words of God, according to John 3:34. And next, after his resurrection, Jesus gave commandment to his disciples whom he had chosen through the Holy Spirit, Acts 12. Jesus Christ wrought his miracles here on earth in the power of the Holy Spirit, according to Matthew 12:28. And last, it was by the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus was raised from the dead, Romans 8:11. Friend, I'm going to tell you, if you would give yourself to the Holy Spirit, there's not a person on this earth, a demon out of hell, or a circumstance of confusion that could stop you if you just learn to get in the Holy Spirit. You said, well, you know, one time I think I spoke in tongues 12 years ago. That's not the same thing as being a person that's just infused with the Holy Spirit. It's rolling like a river out of their belly every day. That's what, you said, why do those people praise like they do? It's the Holy Spirit inside of them. When you get the Holy Spirit inside of you, it just changes you. Let me hurry up and close here. But it changes you dramatically and completely. Okay, there are three things real quickly that people do, the reason why they're not victorious. Acts 7:51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your father did, so do ye. People resist the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's not going to take a baseball bat and beat you down to the ground. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. The Holy Spirit nurtures you. The Holy Spirit suggests to you. It urges you. It leads you. It does all things to bring you into his fullness, but it does not make you do anything. But people resist the Holy Spirit. They literally are afraid of. It's amazing to me. In this world where we see movies that are just crazy, I don't watch that stuff. I just don't watch all that. I don't want it in my mind. Say, oh, you know, Pastor, I'm a single mother. I live alone, but I'm so scared all the time. I know the other night I was watching a slasher movie, and I just got so scared. You're a single mother watching a slasher movie. Yeah, that makes sense to me. Just don't let that stuff get in your mind. There's a spirit of fear. There's a spirit of fear associated with all of that. But you get in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost comes to comfort you. It comes to guide you. It comes to give you wisdom. It comes to tell you what to do, where to be, where to go, who your friends should be, who you should avoid. But if we are carnally minded, what does the Bible say? To be carnally minded is what? It's death. But praise God, the Holy Ghost comes, but our carnal mind wants to resist the Holy Ghost. It wants to call the things of God foolishness. You have to realize that the Bible teaches that this flesh has enmity with the Spirit. In other words, they're not buddies, they're enemies. They don't get along. Your flesh will resist the Holy Spirit. And so if you want the Holy Ghost to work in your life, you have to bring the flesh under submission and submit to the Holy Spirit. But most people resist the Holy Ghost, stiff-necked and uncircumcised, the writer said in the book of Acts. But we don't want to do that in this church. People are afraid of the Holy Spirit. They're afraid of the Holy Ghost. He will in no wise harm you. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost since I was 13 years of age. He's never given me a bloody nose. He's never cut off my finger. He's never punched me in the stomach. He's never poked me in the eye. He's never twisted my ear. You don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. It is a spirit of a dove. It's a gentle spirit. It will lead and guide you. You ought to seek the Holy Spirit. You ought to say, Holy Spirit, fall fresh on me. Holy Spirit, flow through me. You ought to worship the Holy Spirit. You ought to pray in the Holy Spirit because it is the power of Almighty God. I want this church to be more inundated with the Holy Spirit to where we don't have to preach everybody to the altar. The Holy Spirit would just lead them by the hand right down to the altar. I love it when people say, I don't know what it is, but I feel like I need to pray. I feel like I need to give my life to Christ. I know what their feeling is, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a wonderful thing. The Holy Ghost is joy, unspeakable and full of glory. But so many people resist that. And then the Apostle Paul would write in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. So many churches today, even churches that would call themselves Spirit-filled, they quench the Holy Spirit. I've got friends that have got great churches, and there's a real battle going on in the church world. A real battle, because they're not allowing the Holy Spirit to move. They quench the Holy Spirit. Why? Because somebody back there on the third to last row gives him $5,000 a week, and they know that they don't like the demonstration of the Spirit. They might like the talent of the music. They might like the decor of the building. They might like the homiletics of the speaker, but they're uncomfortable with the Holy Spirit. You know, in boxing, the worst thing you do is throw a fight. You throw your fight by pulling the punch. There are preachers all over America that know truth, that are afraid to preach truth. They're afraid of the pocketbook. They're afraid of the people in the pews that have got money. Well, friend, I wished everybody in America was coming here to church. I wished everybody in San Antonio, I wished every other row had a banker in it. But the bottom line is, I am not willing to sacrifice the power of the Holy Spirit for money. This church belongs to God. I belong to God. You belong to God. The services belong to God. And I say, Holy Spirit, do what you want to do. If it is offensive to anybody, that's all right. Because we do not want to quench the Spirit. We want the Spirit of the living God to have His way. It's His earth. We are His creation. Have your way, Holy Spirit. That's the reason why we allow some people to shout and dance. You say, well, that's a little offensive. Well, it probably is to somebody, but just get over it. The Bible said if you love the Lord, you won't be so easily offended. Just get over it. They're not talking about you. They're not going to hurt you. Just look the other way if somebody's a little loud and rowdy. You don't know where they've been. You don't know how long they were in prison. You don't know what God delivered them from. You don't know what kind of a nightmare they came out of. They just can't help it. They're so glad they're beside themselves. They just got to let the Lord know, I've been redeemed and I want to say so. And I don't have a real good vocabulary. And the only way I know to do it is to clap my hands and move my feet and to let out a shout. And somebody said, oh, pastor, set them down. Well, we will if they get too bad, but we're going to give them a lot of tolerance. I'd rather err on the side of giving people too much liberty than I would quenching the Spirit of God. Sure, somebody's going to get out of line once in a while. Sure, somebody's going to do it because they couldn't get discovered on one of the television programs, and they auditioned. They wouldn't let them dance here, so they showed up here. That's all right. We can bear that just as long as we don't quench the Spirit of the living God. Amen. We want the Holy Ghost because I know what the Holy Ghost can do. It can convict me of my sins. It can cleanse me. It can empower me. It can provide for me. I say, Holy Spirit, have your way. And so Paul would write to the church of Thessalonica, and it's good for a living way in 2018. Quench not the Spirit. Go ahead and give the Lord a praise. Go ahead and sing the Lord's song. Go ahead and give God a magnificent aura of love and say, I can't help myself. Look what the Lord has done for me. He healed me when I was sick, saved me when I was lost, filled me when I was empty, caused me to live when the doctor said I was going to die, canceled my reservation in hell, wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, hallelujah. And so I invite the Holy Spirit to move in this place. And last, Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Did you know that you're supposed to conduct yourself in a way that it doesn't grieve the Holy Spirit? Some of you act bad. Not in here, but you know out there. Some of you got not double lies, you got four or five different lies. People say, I can't control my mouth. I've just always used bad language. Oh, yes, you can. They do it all the time on television. Some of those people that you see on television never say a bad word. When that camera's off, they're just filthy with their mouth. They controlled it because they had to, because they were on camera. You controlled it because in the old days, now not that way, because your mother was there. I told you the story I read in the paper about the man that had the gun at the teller's window and said, here's, fill his sack up. And all of a sudden he laid it down. He laid his gun down and said, never mind, take the money back. That woman said, what's wrong? He said, I just heard my mother's voice. She said, thou shalt not steal. He got him arrested, but he didn't rob the bank anyway. But what we don't seem to know is that you don't leave the Holy Spirit in a bucket in the foyer. When you got filled with the Holy Spirit, he's tracking you every second. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He hears your praise at church, but he hears your criticism of people and the church and the kingdom of God and your brothers and he hears that. It grieves him. He sees you praising God in church, but he sees you dancing in the club. It grieves the Holy Spirit. It grieves the Holy Spirit. Somebody says, I don't know why this thing's not working for me. Friend, I'm going to tell you why. If this thing's not working for you, there's a problem because it works. His word will not return void. Are you resisting the Spirit? Are you grieving the Spirit of God? Because if you get filled with the Holy Ghost, praise God, it will open every door you need to walk through. Every door that you need to walk through, the Holy Spirit will just open it. Praise God. He don't need a locksmith. He just opened the door. It don't matter who tries to lock it. If you're walking in the Spirit and not grieving the Holy Spirit and not resisting the Holy Spirit, that door will open and you will walk through it. Friend, this thing works. I've had a lot of preachers tell me, how come everything you do works? I got a couple of them say, you got the Midas touch. Everything you touch turned to gold. Well, it's supposed to. It's supposed to. Everything you touch is supposed to turn to gold. Everywhere you go, there's supposed to be victory. Everything that happens is supposed to be overcoming an obstacle that other people can. My secretary, Michelle, she used to say, I never saw anybody where people want to please that you as bad as these people. Everywhere you go, people want to please you. I went down to the title company to close on a property, and there was a $6,000 fee on there. I said, what is that? The guy said, I don't know. We charge that on every commercial transaction. I don't know what that is. And I said, well, where's your boss? He said, well, he's not here. He's in another building. I said, where's that been? He told me. I went down there, and I said, look, there's $6,000, and your boy can't tell me what that is. I don't know what it is. What is it? And he explained it to me. I said, I don't like that. He said, well, we'll just take it off then. I still don't know what it was. I went back. And the guy that I was talking to was named Bernie. I said, here, Bernie, over Stuart Title. I said, here, Bernie, he said, take that off. He said, I've been here. He was an old man. He said, I've been here for 30 years. They ain't never taken that off. I said, the guy said he marked it out and initialed it right there, take it off. I went back, and Michelle said, I don't know why they do that. Oh, I know why. It ain't me. It's not me. It's him inside of me. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to work for you. It wants to conquer every enemy. It wants to undo every problem. It wants to undo every snafu. It wants to bring every mountain down. It wants to turn every defeat into a victory for the glory of God. Come on, folks. You're not a Baptist. They're sweet people. You're not Episcopalian. They're polite people. You're not a Catholic. They're dedicated people. You are a Holy Ghost-filled Bud Walsh, saint of God, you need to get in the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost flow through you. Don't grieve him. Don't resist him. Don't quench him. Let him bring victory in your life. Somebody stand on your feet, throw your head back, and give the Lord the loudest shout you ever have in your life. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. The Holy Ghost is in here right now. There's people in this building that have got problems. It's going to take you days, weeks, years with a lawyer to try to win them. Some of you got to go through massive red tape. Some of you just can't get a break. You're just on your job. My favorite thing, I tell you, my favorite thing is I don't know why I'm doing this. Man, when we moved out here in this property, Jim Jones had killed the people in the jungle, and Jim Baker was doing whatever he was doing, and Jimmy Swagger was doing what he was doing, and everybody around here was Catholic, and they hated this church, and they hated me, and some of you weren't out here. They came out. You're not going to believe this. They came out in the parking lot with shotguns and rifles. It was a mess. I can say for one of the few times in my life I held my peace. God gave me patience. I never responded. I never answered them back. And it went for a few years. But do you know, before they moved, every one of them had done something kind for the church. One of the last gestures, one of them gave him $26,000 on one of the houses. He just gave it to us on that house deal. They totally changed their mind. Why? Because the Holy Ghost was working on them. You're facing something on Thursday, and you're saying, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I got to go to court. Friend, I'm telling you, if you'd learn to let that Holy Ghost come in you, flow out of you, it'll get a hold of judges and juries and bosses and enemies and friends and in-laws and ex-wives and ex-husbands and mother-in-laws. Let the Holy Ghost loose on them. Let the Holy Ghost loose on them. Hold your battle and let the Holy Ghost do it. If there's somebody in this building right now facing a problem that you don't know what the solution is going to be and you don't know how to get there, I challenge you to jump out in the aisle. I mean, don't just crawl out there, jump out in the aisle and run down to this altar and say, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give this to God. God's going to fix it in the classroom. God's going to fix it in the courtroom. God's going to fix it in my office. God's going to fix it in my school. God's going to fix it in my family. Praise God. I have received the Holy Ghost, and it's not for naught. It's that He would be the captain of my salvation. Amen. Becky is singing right now, and I'm fixing to pray for these ladies, and I'm believing.